This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm really happy to have Michael Garrity in studio. Would you call yourself a co-founder of Urban Lodge,
yes,
right? Is your brother-in-law?
Yep, with my brother-in-law. Yep.
And, I'm a champion of Hartford. I know it's a difficult dynamic, but, you know, Pratt Street aesthetically is great. And between you and the card shop and then Hartford Flavor and Vaughn's, I mean, you're part of the bones of that place, you know, and to succeed, it's vitally important for you to succeed. I think for people, I want to get into a bunch of topics. I want to give credit, by the way, I need to, even though the people consider them competition. The folks at CT Public did a story on you and your collaboration with UConn. I saw the story and I was just like, this is a great story. Not only is it a good story, but I like the concept of what you're doing. It's in Mansfield, technically, correct?
Technically, yeah.
So I want to get to that, and I want to talk about Pratt Street and Manchester and so on. But a lot of people don't know your story. And so just give us a quick synopsis of how Urban Lodge Brewing came about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for having me on. This is great to be here. This is super cool. First time in a studio like this.
It's fun.
This is really, really neat. So my brother-in-law and I, we hit it off really quickly when he met my sister-in-law. And we became great friends, Ryan Fagan. And it was like common interest on virtually everything. It was great. So then beer became a thing. He had taken a class with Carolyn. Him and I then took a class in East Hartford for homebrewer. And we bought a small system, if you will, for homebrewing. And we put it at my house. And we were having kids at the time, my wife and I. And it was like, you know, burners and things like that in an open flame outside with toddlers running around. Probably not the best idea.
Right.
So we moved it to his house. And he took to the chemistry of it way more than I did. Like, I'm fascinated by the hospitality side, the entertaining, the business side of it. Ryan is definitely
He's the chemist.
He is absolutely that. And it just came naturally to him. And he would brew regularly. And then it was like almost like a put up. We were on our way back from a Patriots game. And we were talking about it so much, and I was like, it's a put up or shut up moment. Like, what do you want to do? Is this something that you want to pursue? Whatever. So Ryan left his job, and we were looking for a space.
I'm sure your sister loved that.
Yeah, exactly. And we were looking for a space. Manchester was definitely where we wanted to be. I definitely wanted to be close to
Ryan. Why Manchester?
So Ryan's from Manchester. My wife's from Manchester. We have a lot of roots there. We love Manchester. And it was going through, and it still is a little bit, like through like a renaissance, right? Like,
yeah,
it
does that Main
have,
Street. Yeah.
That Main Street area. Yep. They're doing a lot of work. They got the library going in now. They're trying to do like a revitalization program to the town, and a lot of focus at Main Street. And we felt like we could help contribute to that. And we found a rundown old space that had been vacant for 16 years. And we're like, this is where we should do it. We worked out a lease. It's about 7,000 square feet. But we had to gut the entire thing. And during the process, you're naming it. We started out as White Porch Brewing because he was brewing on his white porch at his house. And Front Porch Brewing approached us and said, hey guys, that's a little close.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, sorry about that.
Does that mean they threatened to sue you? Or?
No, they just kindly said, like, you should really consider, like, another, like, the confusion would be there, like, don't.
It'll hurt us both.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, at the time, you were like, this is not good, but it was the greatest thing, because we really ended up loving the name Urban Lodge.
How'd you come up with it?
So.
Because it's sort of paradoxical, right?
It is. And then when you start thinking, like, we can't conflict with people, and how many names are out there, you're like, this is hard. Like, people are like, oh, it's fun to name a beer or a brewery. No, it's hard.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to figure out, like, what actually fits, what makes sense. Manchester's an urban area, but our whole desire was, we were coming a little bit late into the craft beer scene. Other people had tons of breweries, had opened and everything else. And we wanted a different experience. We wanted people to love the aesthetic. We wanted people to feel like they were coming to our living room. We loved entertaining. We loved having friends and family. And the family was the inspiration behind everything. So many gatherings and everything focused around, you know, just having a good beer, good laugh, like, et cetera. So we were like, we're going to make this like a living room. Make it feel like you're at our house.
So funny, because I haven't been to Manchester. But Pratt is cozy.
Pratt's cozy.
It is.
Manchester also cozy. And my wife's last name and my sister-in-law's last name is Lodge. And we were like thinking, okay, Ski Lodge, Hunting Lodge. You know, they all have that cozy vibe. So we're like, Urban Lodge. And then the mountain and the city logo, it came out, you know, came out nice.
So we're talking about Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge Brewing again. Started in Manchester, they're now on Pratt Street. And we'll get to the collaboration with UConn, where he's going to be with us all the way through right about 8:48 this morning. In terms of the beer, because I'm a beer drinker, I wouldn't say a connoisseur, but I know when a beer tastes good and I know when it doesn't taste good. How early on did you know you had something decent?
Ryan will say it wasn't really great when we first started. He quickly went from home brewing to, you know, a commercial system. And we had probably five that were good commercially acceptable beers. In the sense of it tasted good, it was consistent, and, you know, he found his niche in what he was doing. But it took, I mean, he was brewing for a solid, you know, 2 years on a homebrew system weekly, bi-weekly.
Wow.
And
hemorrhaging money? Like, I mean,
some of it, well, it's cheap at that point. Okay. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, at that point, when you're doing it on a homebrew system, it's really not much. Then when we went into the commercial space, there's a couple that, yeah, get poured down the drain, and that's sad. But it's just, you know, you want to serve something that's good. And it's continued to develop and evolve and get better. I think that's the nice thing, is that you can continue to reinvent the beer.
Couple quick questions. Funding. How did you just leverage yourself to the hilt, or did you get investors? How did that work? To the degree you can share.
Yeah. So, I was basically going to put in, you know, a certain amount, and then we went to the SBA for the other amount. So it was a combination between, you know, myself and
you knew you had some decent beer, and your brother-in-law was focused, and he was really into it and had some talent. When did you know, as a business in Manchester, that you had something viable?
So I think, like, when we first opened, you get that initial rush of this is it. And our timing was perfect. It was only 7 months before COVID hit. So it was brutal. Like, we had a great 7 month run.
And then
in the first couple of weeks, ran out of beer immediately. We had to close. We reopened after we repopulated because we didn't know what the demand was going to be.
Right.
We don't want things sitting there. So, and we were a tap room model only. Like, we were literally served. We had no cans. We had nothing. And we only offered a cider and a wine, two wines, red and white. And then it just progressed to the point where, okay, now 7 months later, COVID hits. We were still selling out, you know, every week, just selling out constantly. To the point that anytime a tank was empty, a tank was full. Like, it was just so frequent. Navigating COVID, obviously hard. Everybody knows the challenges that existed there for our industry, for the entire hospitality industry, and for a lot of them. But then when we came back from COVID and people were allowed to enter our space and we had to somehow figure out how to provide food, we figured out, like, it's going to be the thing. You're going to have food here to keep people here. They're going to want, you know, the outside that everybody was forced outside. Then it was like, that's going to stick around because everybody wants to be outside.
Yeah. Probably the best thing to come out of COVID in some ways is that outdoor dining and all that.
I totally agree. That and Teams meetings. Yeah. So it was definitely a change for us. And we felt like, okay, we could grow, but we didn't have space in there to grow.
Right.
So we knew that we really liked the taproom model. It was working in Manchester. And I think, you know, between Max, one of our brewers, Ryan, we were talking about maybe potentially Hartford. And a friend of ours had said, like, listen, like, after Hartford's been decimated through COVID, like, there's a Heartlift program, and we utilize that. And it's if you're on the first floor of a main street, if you will, retail space, they would help out financially up to a certain amount, obviously, and they would match you. So when we looked, Hartford Flavor had actually signed their LOI down the road. We didn't know who it was. We just knew it was gone.
Right.
And really our location now on Pratt Street was available. And we loved it because we loved the two floors. We do a lot of private events.
Yep.
So it gives people that opportunity.
We got to take a quick pause here, get a quick check of traffic and weather. We're with Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge Brewing. We have tons of questions. And next we'll pivot into his growth story, into the state of affairs in craft brewing. And then we'll get into what's happening at UConn as early as next fall, which is pretty unbelievable how quickly you're going to convert that space.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge Brewing. I got a couple quick questions here related to Pratt, and then we'll get into the beer business. So, I mean, you're one of the success stories of the Heartlift program, and you know, and Hartford is such a fascinating thing because I want it to succeed, and some days I feel encouraged, and some days I don't, and I feel like we just need more people to put their roots in the city in terms of residential. But generally, has business, and the sort of corollary to that is, are you just so dependent on nights, UConn nights, Nicki Minaj nights, or whatever? And does one great UConn night offset like 2 weeks of regular stuff? Like, what's the dynamic?
Yeah, good question. So I would say those days are awesome. Those are the ones where, like, yeah, you try to be able to feed and service as many people as possible to capitalize on the audience. But you hope that they have a great experience, that they do come back. The consistency from the businesses is nice. Like, we have, you know, a little bit of a residential population, but as you know, it's more of a commuter city. But, you know, from a lot of the insurance companies and businesses nearby, a lot of happy hours.
Are they dropping in?
Yeah. So a lot of, like, after work crowd. Lunch is pretty steady. And then after work crowd is pretty good. And that's done very well for us. So it's... And it's just an ask of everybody that comes into this. The local, it's not just us, right? It's everybody who has put in some sort of a business, whether it's, you know, Hartford Flavor, Vaughn's, who's been a staple forever, you know, the card shop, like you said, Hartford Prince. Like, we do. It's, you can only make it if you rely on, you know, on the people to patronize you.
Again, like, no offense to West Hartford, but we live in Windsor. You know, 9 out of 10 times we come to Hartford.
Yeah.
And we'll do, you know, the ones you meant, you, Vaughn's, Hartford Flavor, or Fireforge.
Or what,
yeah, you know, those are the places we want to patronize because we want them to do well. The beer business itself, just spend a quick minute here on the beer business, because off mic we were talking about how, you know, in the pandemic, and it seemed like the IPA was this huge boom, and now it's sort of right-sized, and people, you know, they don't want to wake up with huge headaches and they don't want to get too boozy too much. And so, like, the return of the lower ABV, lower alcohol beers has been pronounced. Is the beer, and there's been contraction. A lot of your colleagues have gone out of business. And are you viable, it seems, for the long term?
Yep.
And B, like, how is the business in general?
The business is good. We've seen it change. Like, we figure out, you know, almost on a monthly basis, how it tracks month over month when it comes to beer sales internally versus other things. So now we don't just offer beer. We want to be the, you know, you want to offer something for everybody. We know that RTDs, ready to drink cocktails, have been, you know, booming. So people like, you know, the High Noons, the seltzers, the this and that, that it's just a little bit lighter to drink. So we offer those things as well. But you start to see the ratio of beer sales versus those things. And it, you know, depending on the night, depending on the crowd, depending on the concert that's, you know, at People's Bank.
So you, it's not just your beer in the Pratt Street location.
No, well, it's just for beer sales. Yes, all our beer. But then
but you have those other things.
Yeah, you full bar otherwise.
Yeah.
So because you want to be able to cater to everybody's desires for what they want to drink that night. I mean, I love beer, but there's plenty of times that I want a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that as an offering.
You know, and so do you think there's going to be further contraction? You know, like, to me, like, I think you guys have done a good job. There's a lot of good breweries. I mean, I think, you know, New Park and Fox Farm and Connecticut are great, and there are some others, but there are some others that were clearly not going to make it. Is it going to continue to contract? And that's ultimately good for you if you make it out.
I think so. I think if you listen to the Brewers Guild and you know, the various publications, what the brewing industry, you essentially have two models. You either are big into distribution, so you think about, like, a Counterweight, a Two Roads, a Hooker, Back East, right? Huge distribution presence. So it's, you know, they can, their cost structure is such too, where they can actually, you know, they can make money doing that. To compete at a price point, with them, your volume would have to be extraordinary. And a lot of us in the microbrew space are not at that volume. And so we don't have the same buy, the same costs, et cetera. And then, so you either have, a Fox Farm model where it's, you're
there. No distribution.
No distribution. You're there. You're known as the best beer in the state or however you want to view it.
Yep. I do view it that way.
Yes. Yep. And they are fantastic and they have that, you know, they have that following. A lot of us have been like, all right, and then they talk about on the Brewers Guild too, it makes sense to turn your tap room into more of a restaurant experience where like you can get food. You know, it might not be everything. It might just be a burger or pizza or something like that. But to get people to stay, it's no longer like, hey, I'm going to come in and try all the beers. They've already tried all your beers probably. And so now it's like, if you want them to hang out for 2, 3, 4 hours, there has to be some sort of food accompanying that.
Yeah.
So to figure out how to offer that and create an entire hospitality experience is pivotal to longevity.
Yeah, for most brewers, beer alone is not enough. I mean, there's only
not so many
tree houses of the world or what have you. We're talking with Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge. We'll spend a couple of minutes on it here, and then we'll finish up at 8:40. So when I saw the story, you know, UConn planning new brewery and academic space near campus with Urban Lodge. And again, for full disclosure, CT Public did the story, and Jim Hadidin did a great job. He used to work at NBC Universal, same company I worked for many, many years. So this Barnes & Noble's, they're done at the end of January, right?
Yep.
I mean, and then you swoop in and you're going to gut it and then build it in stages. I mean, it's huge.
It's a huge space. So
how many thousand square feet?
14,000. But that includes, I don't think the whole thing gets renovated. That's just like how the landlord looks at it because there's like back end stuff that doesn't get renovated. So you're talking about like a renovated space of like 11,000 square feet. So to go a little bit to the origin, like they had their innovation class that they started years ago, and they were with Two Roads and Kinsmen, and it was a group of people who felt like, and it is, there is 80,000 people around the United States are employed in the brewing industry. And then if you get into distribution and you get into sales of actual products, it's way bigger. So it is a business, and there's a lot of kids, there's a lot of students who are interested in that business, and how do I pursue that? What is that? And then is brewing something that I'm interested in? So you have, you know, people from the engineering teams and engineering department. You have other folks that are very fascinated with brewing. They homebrew themselves, and they obviously didn't have a place to go them to have the class, like a physical space. So they had virtual classes, but then in order to brew, they'd have to come to a brewery.
Right.
So for the last 2 years, we've been doing it. And geographically, it made sense. Manchester was a lot closer than some of the other ones. We really enjoyed the process. I think our brewers really enjoy having the students come in because they're fascinated and they ask questions and they're curious, and it gives them a chance to teach. And it reminds them again why they love brewing. And,
right. Energizing. So
it's energizing. Yeah. It really brings like this vibrancy that doesn't always exist. You know, you're in here every day and it's kind of the same
thing.
It's
just like bringing dogs to work. I hate to make the comp, but like it you like it, and have your kids around who are like, wow, that's amazing. And you're like, it's like here, like I think I'm on, you know, whatever, like it's this old studio, and you're like, this is cool. I'm like, it's cool.
It's cool.
Know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. And you need somebody to remind you that. And that, so then it was, we had always said, and we had our athletic partnership with UConn. We felt like it should be reciprocal. Like they bring so much business to Hartford by just having those games for men, women, hockey, et cetera. That we should be doing something in return. So we partnered with them from an athletic standpoint, did the brewing thing with them. And then it was like, well, what's next? Like, how do we continue to grow this relationship? And they did want to grow the brewing program. So right now it's only really two cohorts. It's 60 students, but that can grow when we get to that space. The timeline is going to be, we're still working with contractors. We're still working with, you know, architect, design, et cetera. But yes, Barnes & Noble will be gone. And part of that whole thing, like there's two books. So to be clear, so everybody knows, the Barnes & Noble is next to Square Peg over on Dog Lane, that, you know, that area. The quote unquote UConn bookstore still exists across from Gamble. That's not going anywhere. I think
it's not like swapping books for beer.
Right. We are not doing that. It was used more of a study hall. Sales there were not good. People didn't go and visit, you know, Barnes & Noble regularly for books.
So you might be there for student focused stuff before the commercial side is fully open. Is that what you mean?
I think the commercial side would be open first.
Okay. We'll pause there with Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge Brewing. And again, they're in Manchester. They're on Pratt Street in Hartford, and they're soon in Mansfield, what will be the former Barnes & Noble location, to do a collaboration with UConn and their students, but it'll also be a fully functional, not only a place to get a beer and a bite to eat, but it'll have a function space that is badly needed in that part of the state. We're back with Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge Brewing here on Bryan & Company. Again, they're on Pratt Street, they're in Manchester, and soon to be in Mansfield right by UConn. And I think it's important to note, you know, people like the beer business and academics. I mean, first of all, there are degrees in this stuff now in a lot of schools. And the vertical, the experience, not only learning how to brew beer, but there's marketing, there's hospitality, there's food, there's, I mean, even inventory management itself is a huge business concept that kids need to learn. I mean, this is not a joke.
No.
An opportunity academically.
No, it is a, it's a 3-credit course that they can take, obviously elective, and it just, it generates, it stimulates the brain to be like, what else is out there besides, you know, some of the traditional jobs that you would hear from, you know, your advisor on. And it gives them some of the chance to say, oh, maybe I'd start in brewing, and then they branch out. We have a lot of, we have a lot of reps that come to us as sales reps for hops or grain or can sales, and they were either a brewer or they worked at a brewery, and then it's like they just stemmed off into this, and it's just, you know, they've been in the industry now for 10, 20 years, but they went to school for it.
And parents out there can also look at it as that somebody, they may say, oh, I want to do this, and they think it's easy or super fun all the time, and then they take the course, and they're like, that's tougher than I thought, and maybe it's not for me.
I think they're always overwhelmed at how much cleaning is involved. Like, it's not, like, you brew for a little bit, but the amount of cleaning to make sure that everything is sanitized and actually keeps the beer good, because you don't want bacteria growing in the beer. First of all, it makes it taste terrible, and then obviously—
Yeah, you're hosing stuff down constantly.
Constantly, yeah.
It's a really fascinating point. This place in Mansfield, okay, so the Barnes & Noble closes this month. And then just explain what the whole space is going to be, because it's big. So because you're going to have multiple different things there. Just explain what it's all, when it's all done, what's going to be there.
Okay, good question. So we will be essentially from morning until evening, 10:30. If there's a game on, we'll stay open later. But the idea is to remain a brewery / restaurant where people can come in. In the morning, there's going to be coffee, there's going to be a place, and it's supposed to be communal. That's the beauty about breweries, and I feel like the ones in certain towns have become that way, where there are spaces where you can come in and you can just get a soda or a coffee or something, meet somebody, do work, kind of like a Starbucks, but just that much bigger.
Oh, so you're going to have space for that?
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely space for that. I mean, there's going to be room for 350, 400 seats, so that's going to be there. There'll be a giant bar, a lot of audio, visual, and then in the back corner, there will be a good size space for the brewing system. So we'll put our old 5-barrel brewing system in there with a bunch of fermenters, and they're going to be able to brew weekly at class if they want to. However, we still have to figure out the overall structure of how many classes we're going to do, but it will grow from the 30 person total of 60 student population. And so there'll be a cafe, there'll be availability for event space. So I think in that area right now, if you want to throw an event for 200 people or 100 people, if there's a business that's looking to host something up there, this gives an opportunity to rent out a whole space and to have the ability to entertain. So
now, you know, from a business perspective, you know, the Heartlift was so crucial to you opening up on Pratt Street. Is this something where there's coordination with the state? I mean, because I feel like with business development, especially small businesses and local businesses, there's got to be some resources out there to help with this.
There are. And one of the big contributors to this is actually the landlord. I mean, he sees that, you know, they do, that there's a need for a change there, that it wasn't doing well. And they've partnered with UConn long term. So the landlord is giving a considerable amount towards tenant improvements for the renovation, because they're looking at it long term. Like, what is this space going to be for the next 10, 15 years?
Well, they don't want to have somebody come in for 2 years and leave, and that's no good.
No good. So this becomes like a true partnership between UConn, landlord, us, to make it into a good space.
Do you see, because it sounds like on a daily basis, like, how close is it to the campus? Like, what's
directly across? It's literally just like, it's right across the street. There's housing above it. So there's student housing above it and all around it. So
that whole dayside element, and even the, because I always say, you know, one of my thing is like the bookshop, coffee shop, wine bar. Like, if you could find a way to be able to sell and create a space from the a.m. through the evening, that's the key, because your rent doesn't go up if you're open 5 more hours.
That's the idea. And I think that's a lot of breweries have, you know, gone into coffee. I mean, it is brewing, right? So like, there is like an element
true.
To it.
Is that
so
why?
So there's a lot of them that have done it. You're using the same footprint, but now you're selling for another 4 hours that you weren't before, or more.
Now, my last question for you, and again, we've been talking with Michael Garrity from Urban Lodge, and again, they started in Manchester, they're still there, and they're on Pratt Street in Hartford. So if you go to a UConn game or a concert or a Wolfpack game, we like to just sort of, you know, go somewhere for an hour or so and just get a beer and catch up before you go to whatever's loud, if it's a concert or what have you. And they're opening up what will be the formerly Barnes & Noble in Mansfield right by UConn. Are you still at a point where you feel like it's all manageable? Is it getting, I mean, because you have another job, like you have another, it's a primary career. This is your secondary career. Is it getting big?
It's getting big. We have 60 some odd employees, you know, that's counting part-timers, of course. I think truthfully, the whole thing, any of these small businesses, it all comes down to good people. Like we have awesome team. Like they're just wonderful humans that just work hard. They love what they do. They love the hospitality side of things. They love people who come in, and they're thankful for all of you. So people who are listening, and it is hard to make it in small business. It's hard to be, you know, in the hospitality space. So for those that come in and we get the opportunity to serve you, they're very grateful. So I think it's, if you have a really, really good team in place, it makes the scaling a little bit easier because they want the growth. They want the responsibility.
And you have people and you can trust.
You can lean on them and I trust them implicitly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Again, like I'm a big believer in supporting local businesses and this is one of them. So when you get close to opening up for you know, you not just the academic side, but for mom and pop and us to go check it out, come back.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
All right. Michael Garrity, it's good to see you. Good
Appreciate
to meet you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Urban Lodge Brewing. No, it's our pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.